Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and blessed. Amen. I grew up in the era of family slideshows. Not the PowerPoint version that's common today, but that of an older technological vintage. Picture a darkened room and a projector shining photographs on a screen. My dad thrived in that medium. And every break out all this equipment, the rest of us would just groan and roll our eyes. I mean, I remember as a little kid preferring home movies. I mean, there were bright lights, so bright it made people squint. And there was no sound, but there was movement. I like that. But, you know, hindsight, looking back, I think the slideshows were better. Those frozen images led to some pretty neat discussions about what went on and encouraged some robust memories. So sure, the people and places didn't move, but the stories sure did. Today, in a sense, that's what I want to do with the gospel I just read, Jesus' parable in Luke 15. It lends itself well to a family slideshow, but I won't have any actual pictures there. You'll have to imagine them. But don't worry, I'll go sound effects. With each advance, I'll go, ch-ch-ch, so they'll get it. But what I'm hoping is that in your own mind, you can enhance the image with your own details. Because bear in mind, the parable isn't really about a father and his two sons. It's about God and his children. And we're his children. And I'm hoping by imaginary freeze-framing, you put yourself in the picture. We begin. First slide. It's a 50th birthday party. A man standing behind a cake in which there's two candles, a 5 and a 0, placed there, probably because they didn't want to have a fire hazard, and sons on each side. He's smiling while the boys have that typical teenage self-assured, let's just put up with this looks. It's just the three of them. Makes you wonder what the family would be like if Mom was still alive. But they look comfortable and they seem well off, and it's probably something they didn't bring up very often. As for historical import, this picture was actually taken almost a minute too soon. Because right after the old man blew out the candles, he put his arms around his son, and taking off on a popular song that said he had 100 years to live, said, well, that means I'm halfway through my life. But that's when the seed was planted. A bad seed. And the younger son's face showed it. Halfway? I don't want to wait 50 years to get out on my own. No way. And so he began to plot his own escape from family. Second slide. It's another party, but one of the loud and raunchy types. Picture Buffalo Wild Wings on anabolic steroids. Beer, girls, glassy-eyed expressions. A half a dozen guys whose names he can't even recall. Maybe he didn't even know them in the first place. Typical mindless fun. One of them is holding rabbit ears over the other. They're young and foolish, not realizing how young and foolish they really look. Those days all seem to blur, seem to merge into one giant intoxication. Part of it because getting blottos seemed like so much fun at the time. But part of it also was the young man's trying to drive out that memory of his father's look. You see, he brought up the subject one evening. Thought he was really subtle. He said, Dad, how much are you worth? And the father's answer was so straightforward. He said, we are worth. And the number was staggering. Someday, it'll all be yours and your brother's, your inheritance. Well, can I have my share now, like today? He thought he was being subtle, like I said, but he wasn't. He could tell from the look his father gave him. It never dawned on him that what he was really asking for wasn't money at all. He was really asking and hoping that his father was dead, that he wouldn't have any claim on his own inheritance, wouldn't have any claim on him, so he could run away and do what he wants. But the father never said a word. Just stared at his son with unfathomable sorrow. And the next day was all divided up. 3 days after that, he took off, finally free to do whatever he wanted with his life. And boy, did he ever. This slide is all that's left of those party days. You never see smiles bigger or more phony. More fleeting. Third slide. It's a picture of the old man sitting on a stool at the gate to his property, gazing off at the distance. His eyes are squinting against the sun's glare to a spot where the road crests the far distant hill. When was the photo taken? It's hard to say. Could have been any of those days, because that's where he was, that's what he was doing day after day after day, watching, waiting for his wayward son to come home. Fourth slide. It's the young lad himself, sunken cheeks, grubby clothes, beneath a sign that says, Ebenezer Pig Farm. He's standing next to a short, fat guy in a suit who's holding his suspenders, chomping on a cigar. Has boss written all over him. When the economy tanked and a famine occurred, his money ran out, and so did all his friends. And so for a while, he hung around flop houses and soup kitchens, even spent two nights sleeping in a dumpster. But eventually decided he had to get a job. This was such a novel idea among his circle that one of his buddies had to just see what this job thing was all about. And boy, did he start laughing when the only job available was one feeding pigs. It was so hilarious to him, he took a picture of his new boss, his new outfit, and everything. Now looking at the slide, the young man's grateful that it captures just the images. Not the smell, that stench, mud, feces, pigs, his own sweat, the combination, just thinking about it, still turns his stomach. A filthy, disgusting job with filthy, disgusting animals. And the pay was abysmal. One day, he's hurling buckets of slop at them. And he saw, framed in the apex of the ark, a half-eaten piece of steak framed in the sun and the slop that he was throwing. And immediately he dives after it, fighting with the pigs to get it. Fighting and losing. Fighting and losing it. Laying there in the mud, thinking, how could he sink so low? Even his father's hired hands have it better than this. Fifth slide. At first you think I messed up with my remote and I hit the reverse because it looks like the previous slide. It's that same old man on that same stool, but look close, it is different. The same stair, the same man, but the trees in the background have turned colors. And the man seems to have aged noticeably. He's got nothing to show for his unrelenting vigil so far except disappointment. And yet he's still. Well, then you look, let's let modern technology intrude here. This is one of those contemporary slides that has one of those triangles on its side, which means you can turn it into a video if I figure this out. There it goes. And we see what happens as it slowly takes form. The man suddenly shifts in his posture, straightens up on the stool, furrowing of his brows as his eyes squint wide. And then there's a catch in his breath as he slowly rises to his feet. He takes one step, then two, and then another and another until he's running, running like a gazelle to a faraway speck on the crest of that hill, his arms wide open. And he embraces the sun who thought was dead. And the video stops in a close-up of the two of them close together, tears coursing down each one's cheeks like an overflowing stream. 6th slide. It's taken in the foyer of the grand house. The father praising his son, his arms on his shoulders. A brand new robe has been draped over his emaciated form, and he's looking down at sandals that have just been put on his feet while next to him a butler is offering a ring sitting on a pillow. As he looks at the slide, he remembers that in his mind, he was still trying to get through his speech he'd been rehearsing. You know, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. I do not deserve. Maybe I could just be a servant, one of your. But no one's listening. They're just going around setting up a party. And this time, all the smiles are sincere. Even the servants, clutter stood around, beaming. They're reflecting the Father's joy. Until finally he stops his speech and just looks and says, Father, I'm so sorry I left. And the father says, Son, I'm so glad you came home. 7th slide. Don't try to adjust the projector. The slide is dark because the subject matter is dark. If you look closely, all you see are two shadows huddled together, close together in the gloom. Which is so ironic because they're in the house garden, which is usually a brilliant array of color, but in the darkness, it's all muted shadows. What's more, the slide fails to pick up all the sounds in the background, the music and the laughter, the meat sizzling on the grill, the sound of champagne corks popping. But the darkness is fitting because the father's joy is so short-lived. One son who ran away from home finally returns. The other apparently got lost while staying at home. It's now the steady, older, reliable brother who refuses to come in, who refuses to celebrate, refuses to be part of family. You can't see it in the shadows, but when he says, work like a slave, and that son of yours rather than my brother, he gets the same sad look from his father. What has to be going on through this older son's mind? Does he believe when his dad says, all I have is yours? Or is he fearful that it's all going to be divided up yet again? Does he resent his brother being forgiven with a feast? Or does he resent his own never even asking for either? Does he realize that while his father merely waited for the one son to come home, he actually comes out in the darkness to rescue and reclaim the other? We don't know his response. And that's what makes this parable such a powerful one. Jesus purposely leaves the ending hanging. Now remember, this parable isn't really about the man and his two sons, is it? It's about God and his children, about us. Last slide. It's blank. Hasn't been taken yet, because that last slide is yours. Frame it however you will. Its backdrop is a giant grand party that you are invited to. And how do you compose this picture with yourself in the foreground? What kind of son are you? Are you on the outside, in the dark, refusing to participate because the others were there? Are you on the inside thinking, oh, this is pretty great. I gotta hang around. I can always leave later and maybe be welcome back again. Or you are in some way oblivious to the party completely. That it's not as important, that it's hard to believe, and as wonderful it is, the most important thing is the relationship you reclaim with your Father, who never lets you go. The Father you have wronged and still loves you, who wants nothing more than to make things right. Now, since the story is about us, let me make one final point about it. In our case, God, the Father, has taken things one step further. God doesn't just wait for us to come to our senses. He does more than come out in the darkness and beg us to return. No. God dies for us in our place on a cross so that we might be reconciled and come home to life lived happily forever after. The kingdom of heaven. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding.